Weekend Huddle here on 102.5 The Game, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is about great service. Good Saturday morning to you, Nashville. Connor Newt here with Nick Frazier and Parker Kelly. Gentlemen, we got new open. It's a new era. I mean, we're having fun. Crazy Train. Every time I hear this song, I think of The Office with where Kevin Malone is just standing there with his arms crossed that entire open, and then he runs around the room for like 15 minutes. That's what I think of every time, but good call by you, Frazier. That was a good song.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, fired up. Ozzy Osbourne, you can't go wrong with any of his
rest music. In peace to him.
Yeah, rest in peace. But, I mean, that's just a great open. We have a lot to talk about. Titans last night get the win, 23-20.
I don't think many people care about the scoreboard, but Titans did, in fact, get the win over Atlanta, 23-20. I stopped watching in about the fourth quarter, but I digress. I saw everything I needed to see. First off, we're all here in studio, as I said, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game National Studios. Parker Kelly, welcome to your debut live and in person in the great D-Mace chair that has been said, do not take out of the studio.
Yes, I've stolen D-Mace's chair. And it feels great because last week we were all over, scattered around the country.
Yes.
And now we're all here together.
Yes, we are.
And I'm excited to be here. Lots to talk about. I don't think 3 hours will be enough today, but it's we'll try to make enough. The most of it.
It's never enough. Now, 4 hours is too much, but it's never enough. Not all of me is here today. I am, unfortunately, not likely to make the Titans 52-man roster, as last night at training camp I went down with a toe injury.
Oh, no.
Not actually. You guys may notice I am in a boot today. I had a... should I go into detail of what happened?
Go for it. Inform the listeners.
It's kind of gross.
Sort of ish.
give a brief overview of what happened.
There you go.
I had a toenail growing into my bone, so I had to get some surgery done yesterday. I'm expected to make a full recovery. There's no life or death here, but I am in a boot. I am limping. I am in pain. I think my chances of making the roster have depleted. So Xavier Restrepo and I can be working out of Publix next week.
It's a bad time. Bad time to get injured.
You never know. You might make the practice squad.
Yeah, you know, Mason Kinsey makes it all the time. Why can't I?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's just a toe, not a foot. It's just one toe.
It's one toe.
You can always amputate it. Just saying.
Do they make special cleats for that?
Yeah, oh yeah, I'm sure. You know, there's that guy from Kentucky, actually.
Why I was getting ready to say, take the words right out of my mouth.
Six fingers.
Oh,
they made a custom
JJ Weaver.
Yeah,
well, it was on his left hand, right? Just his left hand, not on his right.
He has custom gloves for that. JJ Weaver. I like JJ Weaver. He's a good player.
He was a good player.
He was a good player.
Kentucky's had some great defensive players in the past.
You know,
Deion Walker.
Yeah, Deion Walker.
Maxwell Harrison.
Josh Allen.
Yeah.
You know who my favorite defensive Kentucky player of all time is? Poop Johnson.
Poop Johnson.
Real.
How about that?
Real name. Plays in the CFL now. That should be aware of
that. Sounds like
now.
A CFL player.
Plenty to talk about today. Of course, we got the Titans. Michigan was handed maybe the most NCAA punishment for a blue blood of all time. We'll get to that in the next hour. Tennessee, of course, signs with Adidas. How does that affect the landscape of college football? That's up later as well. At 9:45, a new segment, as we will rotate this every week. Kelly's Corner with Parker Kelly. I expect a full and in-depth rant about something.
I'm coming out of the gates a-blazing today. Guns a-blazing today.
That's
all
good.
Right? Guns a-blazing. 9:45, you're not going to want to miss.
At 10, we will play our new game we played last week. Frazier, you haven't played this yet, so I'm excited for you to play this. Bold Take Row. We want you to give us a bold take of the week, sports or non-sports. We also encourage audience participation in this. Please start getting your answers in right now at 615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. You got an hour to marinate. So
I think I'm 1-for-1 right now. I feel pretty good. Gunnar Helm, tight end 1 to start the season. We're looking all right.
I mean, you both have convinced me on both. After watching Gunnar Helm last night, I'm like, he's gonna get some time. And then Alec Iomanner showed out as well last night. And given the struggles that Van Jefferson had, which we'll get into here shortly, I would not be surprised if Alec Iomanner is the starting X at some point this season.
TD and I both have been saying on the Talking with TD podcast that Alec Iomanner will be this team's starting X at some point. It could be week 4, could be the start of the season, whatever. Elik Aiomanner is going to be this team starting X. And after Van Jefferson's performance last night, feeling pretty good about that take.
Yeah, you convinced me a little bit, and then I watched how he played last night. And granted, you're without Calvin Ridley and Tyler Lockett and some of your starting guys, but the 33 yard reception he had, where Cam
first play of the game,
play of the game, Cam Ward scrambles out of the pocket and finds him deep. I was like, oh yeah, this guy's got something.
And something too about Elik's just way of playing is, I feel like the Titans used him in a lot of those rub routes, crossing routes over the middle, which honestly is probably a cheat code in modern day football, and they should utilize that a lot more. And Elik Aiomanner just seemed very comfortable out there, no matter if it was with the ones or the twos.
He looked like a 10-year vet out there with his style
of play. Experience, for sure.
And that's what you kind of want. Obviously, they mentioned this on the broadcast, which I didn't know, and then I put the two pieces together. He is a former hockey player over in...
Oh, yeah. He's from Canada.
Yeah. Well, do you know the connection to that? He played... What's the place called, Frazier? Do you know this? It's in Toronto.
Yeah, it's like Wallace something.
No. It's like Mad Cap or something like that.
Oh, talking about the whole Willie Donick thing with baseball. Yeah,
well, you just ruined my tease. But
my bad.
Do you know the connection between Willie Donick and Mad Hat Toronto?
I do.
What is it?
Isn't that where he played minor league baseball?
Yes, he did. He was in the Toronto Blue Jays organization.
Really? Yeah. Willie Donick, two-sport athlete.
Out in the night. I mean, Willie Donick was... He's scary athletic.
I know.
Whenever we have our 102.5 official combine, I think he's going to put up some numbers.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait. I can't wait for whenever that is. I'll be ready.
It's going to be bustling.
I'll be ready.
Well,
I'll be ready for
it. Let me fully recover, because I want to put up the best numbers possible.
Hold that at the Applebee's down the street?
No, I think it's... We got to do this on home turf.
Company grounds.
We got to do this on home turf.
Okay,
the parking lot outside.
Anywhere else, there's massive stadium pulse, and I don't want to feel that pressure.
You got to watch out for the stadium pulse now.
Yeah, stadium pulse. I mean,
away teams that come here, off the charts.
That's why we always do it on home turf or neutral site. Applebee's is away territory.
You know how I feel about neutral site games.
You hate them?
Hate them. Because why would we? One of the greatest things about college sports is the home venues, the home environments, the crowd, the tradition, the pageantry. Why would we take all of that and sanitize it in a neutral field environment?
Medicine Hat, Toronto. Thank you, Joel, on our text line. It is Medicine Hat. I thought it was Mad Hat or something like that. Speaking of things that are perfect, to close out the show, as we will do every week, we will play our favorite game, Where Are They Now, at 11:45. By the way, this is the last week of 3 hours. It was a fun summer experiment, but with football starting, we want you to be ready for college football starting pretty much right after we get off the air at 11 in the following week. So last week of 3 hours here on the Weekend Huddle. But Nick Frazier, I have tasked you with a very important task, and that is hosting. Where Are They Now?
I'm ready.
You've got...
This is going to be probably an all-timer.
Oh,
You know it's going to be an all-timer. He's going to pull out people we've never heard of.
So. No golf this time.
No golf.
Yeah.
He's going to pull out a darts whatever.
I do have a story for you.
Ooh.
Earlier this week, I am of age now, so I went out on the town and, had some fun. But we went to the Putt Shack place, the mini golf. Put me on the tour, man. Like, I was stroking them.
Like, where are you now?
Yeah, I was. I finished with like a 300. It's a different scoring style.
Yeah, they do points up instead of your negative. Yeah.
So I don't know what the actual golf thing would be.
When did you go putt-putt? Because I also went putt-putt.
I went on...
Did you guys go together?
No, I was in Chicago.
I went
on Wednesday.
Wednesday.
That's when I went. Hey, there we go.
That's when I went.
I was doing terrible, and I was getting very flustered because I'm very competitive, and I was getting really flustered because I was getting beat by my wife's dad, and it was not fun. I was not having a good time.
You don't want your father-in-law to beat you.
No,
yeah,
it's not
you don't
good.
Want that.
No,
the competitive edge is lost after that.
Yeah, well, you gotta think more domestically.
Well, also, I think you may or may not lose their respect, too.
It's valid.
It is valid.
The good thing is we only got through the first 9 holes, so we got to come back and get back to the back 9.
Yeah, you got
to
come.
We ran out of time. We were going to a dinner. We only got through the first front 9. We went to the batting cages before. Now, I was going yard in the batting cages, so it got my confidence up a little bit. That may have been a bad thing because I was trash on the first 9.
Putt-putt, I'm good. I think I'm ready to graduate to just hitting balls in like Topgolf or something. Like, I just want to go out there and crush them. Just
the stadium pulse at Topgolf can be pretty loud too.
I
don't know if you guys have ever been, but like,
I've done it once.
You know, you're in those bays and you've got people on like to the left and to the right of you and stuff, and then you get up there, and from experience, I'll out myself on this one. You whiff one time, and then it's just not easy to come back from.
Wow. Real quick, this is very off topic, but I'm just kind of looking at Twitter, and Greg Sankey has put out some breaking news. He watched Happy Gilmore 2 last night and should be an Academy Award for Best Movie of the Year. So thanks, Greg Sankey.
Were there any SEC cameos in that?
I don't think so. Scotty Scheffler went to Texas.
I guess that could be, I don't know. Because at the time, they were in the Big 12, so.
I could see Greg's angle, though. Yeah, I could see him taking credit for
it. I haven't seen it yet.
Here's the thing about Happy Gilmore. Like, if you just, it's a turn your brain off movie if you just want to laugh. But anything, if you think too much about it, you're probably not going to like it.
Yeah, I haven't seen it yet. I don't want it to taint the original, because I love the original. But, let's talk some actual sports on the other side. This was kind of just an open and, you know, get your feet wet, get on the ground. But coming up next, we will react to for the first time on these airwaves to game 2 of the Titans preseason. Titans win 23-20 over the Atlanta Falcons. How did Cam Ward look with no Calvin Ridley, no Tyler Lockett? The young guy is in there. That's up next. Weekend Huddle, Connor Newt, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly right here on 102.5 The Game.
I'll never hold on it, because at the end of the day, they got to know what I'm thinking, and I got to be able to trust them to know what I'm thinking. If I want you to run this route at this depth, at this certain type of way, you better get there. If not, you're not going to get the ball. And so those guys, they know that. And, you know, we all mature in our receiver and quarterback group, and, you know, they know what I expect out of them, and, you know, they have high standards for me. So we ready to get the ball rolling. You know, we got limited practice reps. We only got about 2 or 3 more practices until the real season starts. So, you know, we got to take advantage of all the reps.
There you go. That was Cam Ward last night after the Titans' 23-20 victory over the Atlanta Falcons. Cam Ward played about a quarter and a half. What was the let me see the final stats on that. I think he threw 2 of 6 for 37 yards or something like that.
2 of 7 for 42.
Okay. I was close. But regardless, I thought he looked good. Weekend Huddle. Connor Newt, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly here with you. Let's react to that game last night, and we'll start with Cam Ward. Cam Ward, obviously, no Calvin Ridley, no Tyler Lockett, was trusting the young guys and Van Jefferson out there. What did you make of the performance from Cam Ward? Did you think he looked better than last week? Did you think he looked worse? What did you think of Cam Ward?
I think he came out on the front foot for the most part when it came to throwing the ball. There's a little bit more zip behind it, a little bit more confidence. You know, everybody's asked him that confidence question like 3 or 4 times.
Oh, you hear it every press conference.
Yeah, and I think it's now starting to show on the field. And
yep.
I think also, too, in that comment he just made coming back from the break, you know, he has to trust those wide receivers. And I think you're starting to find that rapport now with, you know, if it's Bryce Oliver or Elik Eiermanner and – you know, Gunnar Helm's starting to get in the mix of all that, but I just think everybody's starting to find their comfort zone. And as long as that left tackle, Dan Moore Jr., stays healthy, there's a little bit of a scare last night with that.
Was a little bit, but he was in the next play.
Yeah.
I think they just put him in to finish out the series, or the possession, I mean, and then he didn't play the next possession. So I think they're just kind of easing him out.
Yeah.
Just, we don't want you to get hurt. It's preseason. But
the only thing I would like to see Cam Ward do next, and it's more on Brian Callahan than him, is start putting him into situational drives in the preseason.
Yes.
Like, I texted you both before halftime, and I was like, 2:30 to go. I know Brandon Allen's in there, but I'd like to see Cam Ward be in this, you know, series for a situational purpose to maybe get a field goal out of it. I mean, nonetheless, it's all in the wash now because Brandon Allen went on to throw a touchdown to Gunnar Helm. But
yeah, which was beautiful.
It was a beautiful ball. I mean, I think we need to see a little bit more of Cam Ward in those tight, tight situations when it comes to that.
Here's the thing. Like, when he had time to throw, mm-hmm. he looked like he was on target with it. It didn't even matter that Calvin Ridley wasn't out there.
Yeah.
And stat watchers are going to see the 2 of 7 and think that it was a bad performance. I thought it was fine. I thought it was fine, just like the Tampa Bay performance. I mean, that first throw to Elik Eiermanner right out of the gate,
beautiful.
You could not start out the game any better. And then the pass to Van Jefferson.
Those are the two plays that I thought.
That was a phenomenal ball. Had perfect zip, had time in the pocket. You got to catch that.
Yep.
Got to catch the ball. And then I will say the last throw to Ayo Manor to end Cam Ward's night. It was the right read. It was just even better coverage on Ayo Manor, the slot fade. And he made the right read. I went back and I watched it. Like, he made the right read. It was just good coverage. So, and also the screen. I thought, Brian Callahan's not going to give too much away in the preseason in terms of play calling.
So my dad asked me last night, we were watching it. Well, he had just gotten home after Cam Ward, and he was like, what'd you think? I thought he looked really good the first drive, but Van Jefferson killed that. I thought he looked all right the second drive, but a false start by J.C. Latham killed that one. And then he didn't look great the third drive, but I think play calling killed that one with the whole RPO screenplay. So I don't think these are things you can really blame him for. I thought he looked good per se. I would say he was a little bit worse than he was last week. I would give him a B- last week. I would say B+ because I thought he looked phenomenal. But I think there are factors that go into this, like, you know, you don't have Calvin Ridley and Tyler Lockett. Your left tackle got hurt at one point. Penalties killed you. I think these are things he has to go through because it's adversity. He's got to learn about all these things. But as Gunner on our text line driven by Wilson County Hyundai points out, it is preseason. It's a small sample. It's not perfect. But he feels the Titans look cleaner, way more disciplined. He feels better that they won't look just pure incompetent. And I think that's an excellent, excellent point.
Yeah, and to that as well, defensively, and I've told you all this as well, is that the Titans looked like they had some decent defensive depth.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a lot of guys were missing due to injury and or just rest, but you look on the defensive side of the ball, obviously the Kendall Brooks, iconic name now with the Titans.
I had never heard of before last night, and don't lie to me if you are a listener and tell me that you did, because you probably didn't.
Oh, yeah. I've been following him since day one. No, you haven't.
Probably not.
No, you haven't.
Now, I mean, I saw a tweet last night, I think it was our friend Nick Suss, that said, you know, Jim Wyatt has been saying that Kendall Moore looks all right. He's putting in a lot of work, and then sure enough. So I trust Jim Wyatt's word.
Yeah.
I don't trust you people, you listeners.
The random Titans fan that you find on Twitter.
Titans Billy, who is out there retweeting everyone and acting like he's covering the
But
practice.
It was so nice that Cedric Gray got the start last night, because James Williams got the first start in the Tampa Bay game, and then Cedric Gray, you get the opportunity to see what he can do. And did he not make the most of it last night? Sack? I mean, that blitz was timed up perfectly. The interception that he was there for just got negated by the penalty, but coaches are going to look back on that, and they may count that.
Wasn't his penalty.
Right. They may count that, and that helps him in this inside backer competition, and now we're going to have more controversy. Who's going to play next to Cody Barton? Is it going to be James Williams? Is it going to be Cedric Gray?
I think at this point, you kind of just have to go with who's on the hot hand at this point. You know what I mean?
I think you rotate.
Yeah.
I do. I think you rotate that position. Whoever plays alongside Cody Barton.
Right. I agree with
because
that.
Because both have shown, you know, promise at that position. James Williams had a great week last week, contributed on special teams right out the gun with that just insane play to start out the kickoff. And then Cedric Gray has the night he has last night. I think they'll both play next week just kind of to get a final verdict, but if I am Brian Callahan, I'm rotating both of them in.
Go ahead. I was going to say, and also, too, with Cedric Gray, not trying to look back into the past when the Titans drafted him, but, you know, that was under the Carthon era. I know Callahan was involved with that, and everybody kept saying, oh, he'll be a great green dot guy. Last night, we kind of saw that.
Yep.
And I think you got to give a little credit to the past regime a little bit, and then you look at Cedric Gray last night. Yeah, that's where you got to have some of those picks start working out for you.
Let's go to our phone lines. Our buddy Adam in Portland is on the line waiting patiently. Adam, good morning.
Hey, yeah, so Connor and Nick, I know both of you guys have heard me say this. I didn't want Cam to get discouraged when he realizes that his team sucks. And that's kind of what you saw last night. Van Jefferson sucks, dude. He is trash. That's why we got him. Like, he's not available. He's not leaving anybody if he doesn't suck. Like, he's cheap. Like, it is what it is, man. That's a perfectly thrown football. And then same thing with, dude, I hate to say this, and I know it's not going to get harped on as much, but we got a kicker situation. Like, you get momentum, and then you turn right around and miss a point after. Hecker's booted punts that are like 13 yards in both games. Like, what is the – like, our team's just garbage. And I don't want Cam – it all goes back to Cam. I don't want him getting discouraged because he's doing the right things, dude. Like, 2 of 7, okay. I'd call at least – 3 of those balls because of your teammates. So I just want him to realize that, you know, help. Once we suck, we're going to get better players. So help's on the way, but I don't want him to get discouraged, dude. That's where I'm at with it.
Thanks for the call, Adam. Yeah, I think that's a good point. I was thinking about the kicker situation last night. Granted, it's not a sexy position. It's not something really sexy to talk about until we get to the regular season, but Joey Sly looked rough last night, missing the extra point. And then I've been saying this the past 2 preseason games, Johnny Hecker, I mean, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. We'll get to the regular season and see if you're booting him and really just holding back the preseason, but he does not look good at the punter position.
Outside of Cam Ward, I mean, Adam's right. I mean, he presents a very realistic point of view. Like, outside of Cam Ward, this Titans team is kind of boring to watch.
Right.
Like, boring to talk about. I mean, Calvin Ridley, sure. Alec Ammaner is an exciting rookie. J.C. Latham, Jeffrey Simmons, guys like that, they're all right to talk about. But outside of Cam Ward, I mean, I went to college in Chicago. Nobody ever talked about the Titans. Nobody.
Yeah. I mean, I hate to say it, but we locally here in Nashville are all Titans fans because that's our team. That's the local team. Outside of this city, and, you know, maybe you have a couple stragglers in Kentucky or Alabama or some of these border states, there's not a lot of Titans fans out there. Now, there's some weird ones in Canada that I don't know why, but I think they just like the color and they like the logo and stuff like that. But there are not, you know, true-born Titans fans really outside of the state of Tennessee.
Yeah, and, you know, it just kind of comes with the territory. When you suck for so long, your fan base kind of deteriorates a little bit.
Yeah.
They go to other, you know, different organizations.
Well, plus it's a newer franchise. You know, some of these border states, like I know a lot of people in Kentucky, they are Cincinnati Bengals fans because yeah. Cincinnati is basically in Kentucky. I don't think Ohio claims Cincinnati. I think it's more Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you'll have people. I know a lot of people in this state that, like, I know a Green Bay Packers fan, not named Robbie Stanley. I know tons of other fans that are just kind of born into families. Like my mom, for example. My mom lived in Dallas, Texas, so she is a massive Dallas Cowboys fan. My dad, before he moved here, was a Chicago Bears fan because of that 85 team. And, you know, Chicago at that time was such a sports city. You had Michael Jordan. You had that 85 Bears
Brian
team.
Brian Urlacher.
Yeah, you had guys like that. So I get it's. I think it's the older generation.
Yeah.
But this new generation of kids being born here like us, and they are all Titans fans, and I think it'll kind of stay inside this bubble for a little while, because I don't think until the Titans start, you know, contending for Super Bowls and winning Super Bowls, we'll pull in some of the bandwagons. But as of right now, Titans just aren't relevant.
And to y'all's point about the punting situation and also just, you know, kicking situation that Adam brought up, I think, to be fair, you have to give it some time. Especially with Bones Fossil, because that's a guy that will probably fix this pretty quick. I don't think he wants to have a bad special teams unit. I mean, that guy has prided himself on his whole career on special teams. So.
Which is why I'm kind of surprised.
Well,
these are strong.
He'll get it turned around.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he has work to do, clearly.
Yeah. Again, preseason. I know we got, what, a week or so left or 6 practices left until the regular season begins, but I think you just got to give it time. And remember, this was the worst team in football last year.
Yeah.
So
that's a mindset we have to have.
It's a work in progress.
Titans fans got to remember, just because Cam Ward is here and the ceiling is very high, there are still tons of question marks around him. And I'm not ready to say the defensive depth looks so much better already, because it was a preseason game and it was Easton Stick, the third string quarterback for the Falcons. I mean, Kirk Cousins, the backup, wasn't even out there.
Yeah.
So I still have tons of question marks with the surrounding pieces.
615-737-1025, our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll take your thoughts on the Titans coming up next. Plus, you mentioned defensive depth. There is one guy on the other side of the ball that I have been just flat out disappointed with. We'll get to that on the other side. Weekend Huddle, Connor Newt, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly here on 102.5 The Game. This September, Tim McGraw will be performing at Trinidex Rock the Cradle in Nashville, a meaningful event supporting newborns and moms at Ascension St. Thomas Midtown. Get your tickets now at rockthecradlenashville.com. Huddlehuddle.org. Weekend Huddle here on this Saturday morning. Connor Newt, Nick Frazier, and Parker Kelly here with you, talking a little bit of Titans as they take out the victory 23-20 last night against the Atlanta Falcons. And fellas, we focused kind of on the broad things last night. Cam Ward's performance, the defensive intensity, special teams. There's one guy on the defensive end of the football that I've just not been impressed with, and I'm kind of disappointed given the amount he's been talked about and how ahead of schedule he quote-unquote is, and that's Femi Oladejo. Femi, I think, is behind schedule. I think he looks super inexperienced at the position of edge rusher, and that's fine because he's a project, they've told us. He is someone they have to develop, and let's be honest, he hasn't played edge rusher until the Senior Bowl. So that's been 6 months of playing the edge rusher position. That said, he is a second-round pick. You need to see a little bit of production from Mr. Oladejo.
And I'm going to take the opposite stance just for the sake of argument. He has been playing the edge rusher position. I mean, he switched midway through his time at UCLA, and you go from playing in the lower levels of the Big Ten to now the NFL. And yes, he was a second-round pick, but again, he doesn't have a lot of time at this position, and he's going against NFL offensive linemen. He's shown flashes, but he's so raw and he's so green of a prospect that he deserves some grace. And especially like when the Titans drafted him, we knew he was a developmental guy, but do you trust the Titans to develop defensive players?
Nah, not really.
I mean, how many have they developed?
I mean,
Jeffrey Simmons.
I don't even know if you can.
But that wasn't even this regime.
Right.
Is he really fully developed? Like, can we really say Jeffrey Simmons is a fully developed player?
I mean,
don't get me wrong. He is a very buff, really good athlete, but has the production been there?
I'd be interested to see how he looks this year, given the weight loss and the whole.
Right.
You know,
he's a lot quicker.
Now,
yeah.
He has been. To the point of Jeffrey Simmons, though, and including Femi Oladejo into that little equation. Maybe if Jeffrey Simmons, you know, clogs up the middle, that opens up a lot more opportunities for Femi Oladejo. So maybe when Callahan talks about, oh, he's ahead of schedule, maybe that's the viewpoint from Brian Callahan with Jeffrey Simmons in the equation of all that. Maybe that's it. But as for, you know, Femi Oladejo by himself with other depth pieces, does not look great. I think the only upside to him right now with playing with the second and third strings is that he's the Jeffrey Simmons of the edge rushing position. He is able to, I guess, absorb more pressure from the outside. That, I mean, we saw it in the game last night. There was a lot of interior pressure that ended up, you know, going and looking like a loss and or just maybe 1 or 2 yards for a gain for Atlanta.
The thing about Jeffrey Simmons is like just the edge rusher, it's not impressive. It's not Arden Key was the leading sacker from this team last year, and Jeffrey Simmons really benefited when he had a guy like Bud Dupree or a Danico Autry coming off the edge. And you have Arden Key and you have Draymond Jones.
Yeah.
That's not like an impressive group. Femi Oladejo, who's a second round pick who just preseason's been rough for him. He's learning, you know, in the fire, but this edge rusher group's just not impressive.
I don't want to talk about next year's draft right now because I want to talk about this season. But on that note, if I am the Titans and this season goes the way that I think it's going to go, and that's ending in a top five pick, I would heavily, heavily look into drafting someone off the edge in the top five, someone to hit the quarterback, because that's kind of, not that it's one missing piece to turn this team into a competitive force, but that is a pivotal position to have in this league, and Titans haven't had that in a long time, other than Harold Landry, but this year they have not at all. I was hoping that Femi would be ahead of schedule. I was doubtful because I tend to take a lot of what the Titans regime says with a grain of salt on stuff like that. Like right now, what is the number one thing the Titans are bragging about right now?
Cam Ward looked great last night. You could add that in there.
Sure. But they're bragging about, well, we have the number one waiver wire claim. This isn't fantasy football. This isn't. No one is going to drop, I don't know, freaking Kirk Cousins, and you're going to be able to pick him up immediately.
And who's all going to be out there at this point?
Exactly. there's not, unless there's like a major waiver wire cut, like the Seahawks have just cut Bobby Wagner, which isn't going to happen.
I mean, Jadeveon Clowney's out there.
Stop talking about it. People need to stop talking about that. It's driving me crazy.
I'm just kidding.
Realistically, though, I think you'll see a lot of moves, obviously, because you have to make roster cuts. The Titans, I think, will make, air quotes, calculated risk when it comes to after.
Oh, they're
the
so
going to
call it calculated risks, too.
Yeah, just calculated
risk. That's a great
risk.
Term for it. That is a great term
so
for it.
So what they're going
to
call it.
Because when you have a number one waiver wire, you know, pickup claim, you're going to have a lot of pressure in saying, oh, you know what, we can get this guy, this guy, and this guy. And if you get all these guys that you say are going to help on day one of the regular season and they don't, that's when you're going to have to take a couple steps back.
Sure. And this team is starting from the nubs. I mean, like, they have a couple, you know, pieces. Jeffrey Simmons, Calvin Ridley is a veteran. But, like, most of this team, it's the foundational pieces are young.
Yeah.
J.C. Latham, Cam Ward, Elik Aiemanner, who you hope is your future. Gunnar Helm, who you hope is your future in the tight end room, because I don't see Chig being on this team much longer.
Yeah,
I mean, it's a young team. They're starting from the ground up once again. This was the worst team in football last year.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to temper our expectations for what this Titans team will do in 2025.
I think that's a fair point, because I don't think this season is about wins and losses. I don't think next season is about wins and losses. I think we are waiting to see if the Titans can be competitive when this new stadium opens. And I think having these pivotal pieces that you need to develop, like Femi Oladejo, like Cam Ward, like all these young receivers, you want those guys to hit, at least most of them, when this new stadium opens, because you want to be competitive with that. You want to fill those seats, and you want to be the one hosting a Super Bowl in that stadium eventually. You don't want to see some other team coming here. You want to make this a thing for this city. But on the contrary, you said Femi needs some grace. I can provide him a little bit of grace because he's a rookie, but that's a second round pick.
Zero grace for me.
And it's only two preseason games.
It is. It's overreaction season. And maybe he is ahead of schedule. Maybe he goes in week one of Denver and has 2.5 sacks.
But is anybody at the peak of their performance 6 months into playing a position?
No. But you just invested a second-round pick on a guy like that.
And Anthony Richardson was also – he was a top-four pick.
But see, here's the deal. Yeah, out of both those situations, the similarities and all that, it's not on the player. It's on the organization.
Yep.
They have put the pressure on that player. So the Titans have basically dug their own grave in this sense and have put too much pressure on Femi Oladejo.
Denard Wilson said that they're throwing the entire kitchen sink at Femi to see what sticks. They're having him go out and cover in the pass. They're having him rush, trying to set the edge in the run game, trying to go after the passer. They're throwing everything at him just to see what sticks.
Yeah.
So because it's not all clicking right now doesn't mean it won't. At some point, they're going to find what he's good at, and they're going to hammer that.
Yeah, and to that point, obviously, we also know that T'Vondre Sweat did not play last night because of tonsils. Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, he got his tonsils out. Hope he's enjoying the ice cream, though.
There you go, yeah. I just think when you get him back and Jeffrey Simmons and you just clog in the middle, there is going to be some prime opportunities for Femi Oladejo to really make a name for himself in this league, especially with the Titans.
As a rookie, because T'Vondre Sweat in the middle, Jeffrey Simmons, they clog up the middle. That opens up the lanes for the edge rusher, so he'll have opportunities. We'll see if he makes the most out of them, but it's not time to freak out. It's way, way, way too early to freak out.
But that's not to freak out point, but to your point about Denard Wilson saying throwing the kitchen sink at him and then adding the implement of, you know, T'Vondre Sweat and Jeffrey Simmons, for me, having all three of those things that we've just talked about, that's why I have zero grace for Femi Oladejo. Zero grace. And again, second round pick. Titans did this to him, not himself. That's why I have zero grace for the guy. He needs to go in week one and produce.
Real quick, I think my biggest problem with Femi Oladejo is not with the player. It's with the organization, like Frazier said. Obviously, they traded down to get him. But had they stuck, I think there were better options at edge rusher than Femi Oladejo.
Donovan Ezeraku went to
the Cowboys.
Personally, that's what I would have gone with, because this, when you're rebuilding, I don't think it's the time to develop. And especially the pressure on Brian Callahan, if he does not win. We all know how Amy Adams Strunk is. He'll get the boot. Is it the time to be developing players right now?
And I get where you're coming with that, because I mean, Femi's definitely one of those guys to develop, but I look at it as, again, I'm going to use the word calculated risk. I'm going to use that a lot. So for the Titans, I feel like they can make a calculated risk with a guy like Femi Ladeja.
Sure,
do I agree
sure.
that it should have came in the second round? No. But I think that's something you can experiment with. And, I mean, as for Brian Callahan, I'm on the boat that if this season goes to 1-5 or 1-6, I think he's gone by then.
Yeah, I was upset when they took Femi because I like Donovan Azaraku. I liked Landon Jackson out of Arkansas. I thought he profiled exactly to what the Titans needed. But they took Femi. They say they're going to develop him. They say he's ahead of schedule. We'll see how it plays out. Weekend Huddle here on 102.5 The Game, brought to you by LPL Financial in Nashville and Patrick Conger. Financial planning for tomorrow so that you can enjoy today. Also, let me tell the fine folks that later today on ESPN 94.9 The Fan, the Sounds take on the Durham Bulls with first pitch at 5:35 p.m. Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Sounds Baseball on ESPN 94.9 The Fan, presented by Twin Peaks and Family Leisure. Weekend Huddle here on this Saturday morning, and it is 9:45. No, it is not Newt's Notes. Today, we have the debut of Kelly's Corner. I think...
Get ready, folks. Get ready.
You know what this is. Connor Newt, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly here on Weekend Huddle, 102.5 The Game. Oh, this read is so perfect for what I'm about to tell you. Tune into 102.5 The Game, the Game Nashville app, or thegamenashville.com for NASCAR coverage of the Cookout 400 today at 6:30 p.m. Coverage presented by Michael Waltrip Signature Floor. Rev up your day on the Michael Waltrip Signature Floor, located on the third floor of Hank Williams Jr. Boogie Bar. Wall-to-wall sports, cold drinks, and great food to fuel the fun. I was hoping for an instrumental there, but... that's
Sports Car.
Tate McRae, Sports Car.
Yeah. She'll be here on September 11th.
It's a bit promiscuous, but
it is. Never it is
that
very.
Song.
That is Parker Kelly and I's.
That's our song. Huh? It is our song.
Now, Parker, I have a question for you before we get into Kelly's Corner.
Okay.
Tate McRae, or I forgot her name.
Sabrina Carpenter.
Yes, Sabrina Carpenter.
You're making me be real vulnerable today, Wallman.
Show your feminine side.
Yeah, sure.
I'm going to be honest with the audience because I'm not going to lie. I'm going to be honest with our audience here because I want them to get to know the true Parker Kelly. I don't have very many guilty pleasures in my life, but one of them is listening to Tate McRae. Mm-hmm. And I'm not ashamed to admit it. It is one of my guilty pleasures, one of few.
I like both. I think Tate is a better dancer and a better performer. But Sabrina's just got some damn good songs.
All right, enough of this. All right. Let's get to Kelly's Corner.
All right,
come on.
That's enough of that. Weekend Huddle here, Saturday mornings. Connor Newt, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly. This segment, of course, is all about Parker Kelly. Kelly's Corner, take it away, Parker.
All right, guys. I'm going to try to compose myself because we are on the air. We are live. Tennessee Sports Talk Radio here.
We are live. You notice,
you're looking at the grid here, and there are no notes for Kelly's Corner. That's because I'm going straight from the dome today. Smooth jazz in the background.
What
all right?
are we doing here?
Let's take deep breaths, everyone. All right?
Do I need to dim the lights while we do this?
No. Okay, so it is August 16th, right?
Yeah.
And if you are a listener of the Air Raid with Parker Kelly, you know that the college football season, the official kickoff, is two Saturdays from now, the first Saturday of week one. Yes, we have week zero games next week. It is an appetizer to the main course, and that is how it should be viewed. But we have college football games being played exactly 1 week from now, which means one thing. Wedding season is over. No more fall weddings, because there is nothing more sadistic, there is nothing more evil in this world than you're watching Ohio State and Oregon. They're playing. They're in a gridlock fourth quarter match. Autzen Stadium's going crazy. The Horseshoe, wherever it's being played. And you're watching Jerry and Wanda say their vows on an October Saturday.
Jerry and Wanda. Am I at a wedding for two people in their mid-50s?
There's nothing more sadistic on planet Earth than a fall wedding. Be a friend, tell a friend. Let's stop this nonsense altogether. Let's reclaim our fall Saturdays. You may resume your wedding planning after January.
I'm sorry. I'm really just thrown off by the smooth, silky, smooth Duke Silver jazz we got going on.
It's because I needed it to calm myself, because I was coming in to the station this morning and just gritting my teeth, clenching my fists, white-knuckling the whole way here. So I needed the jazz to calm me down.
Let me help you out real quick. people that are sitting in the back, find yourselves a friend and come out to the dance floor. We're ready for you on the third song coming up.
This is the part where we bring out the roses and we just start throwing them to all the ladies in the crowd.
I guess so.
Like Boys to Men.
I was so thrown off by this, but it's pretty funny, so I love it.
But yes, I agree with you. Wedding season is over. Now, if you want to get married on like a Tuesday at, you know, 10 in the morning, be my guest. Saturdays are for the boys. Sundays are for the boys. Mondays are for the boys. And once we get to Maction season, Tuesday night at like 7 p.m. and you're watching Akron and Miami, Ohio, Tuesdays are for
the boys.
Here's
the thing. They're not coming for a Wednesday wedding. They're not coming for a Tuesday wedding. They're coming for our fall Saturday. So I wanted to get out in front of the issue to start off Kelly's Corner because I wanted to come out guns a-blazing, you know. We got to get out in front of this issue. Let's stop with the nonsense.
What about a Thursday wedding?
Thursday night football.
What about Friday? High school.
Yeah. Just it's better to be safe than sorry.
No fall weddings. Speaking of high school football, let's promote this real quick. The Game Blitz is coming back. Yeah. Parker Kelly and I will be helming that one. We will have a pregame show. First hour will be us breaking it down. Then we'll get to the Metro game of the week. Our first game is McGavick at Maplewood. Chase McCabe and Coach Bubba Spears will be on the call. Then Parker Kelly and I will come back and postgame break it all down for you with all the games across the mid-state.
Be on the sideline there. So there we go.
And Nick Frazier will be the sideline reporter. So we are all involved in high school football.
Let it serve as a reminder, there's no good time for a fall wedding. Zero. Let's get out in front of the issue. Let's reclaim our fall Saturdays, and we can do it together.
2799 on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, if your daughter wants to get married in September, October, or November, you will make that wedding happen because it's your daughter. This is nonsense. Maybe your perspective will change when you have a daughter. If you have a daughter.
Who is this? Who texted in?
2799.
Well, 279 needs to get back in his locker.
Well, I also...
When were you married? I'm curious.
I got married in July. My wife and I, we were smart. We got married in July, and we were back from our honeymoon by the start of August, back in time for all the action to start. So if anybody needs advisory, I'm here. If your fiance wants to plan a fall wedding, I'm on standby at needed.
Wallman, do me a favor and flash his phone number on the bottom of the screen, please. Your couple advisories and fall weddings, please call Parker Kelly, HPK.
I get the whole texture's point, 2799, about, you know, it's his daughter. I'm going
with the assumption that he is a parent.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
He has a daughter.
I'm telling you, the father-daughter relationship, I'm not a father that I know of. I think that, you know, you got to give the guy some grace here. Talking about family deja vu grace, give this guy some grace.
Yeah. No, I
was just joking with 279, but really, no. Fall weddings, no. No. Just no.
Yeah, no, it happens. Fall weddings...
I know Jake Lyman, he got dragged into the trap last year, October 12th, when all the good games were, and Jake Lyman, where was he? Sitting in a wedding.
Yeah.
Poor guy.
And when's he getting married? May. Smart man. Right in the middle of baseball season, you know, I'm sure he'll be watching the Tigers up at the altar, but...
It'll be a nice, cool breeze outside.
Nice breeze, outdoor wedding.
Yeah. Not too hot.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Not too cold.
Just right.
Doing a
it's
little
a smart man.
Doing a
Jake
little
Lyman,
East Coast swing.
Smart man.
Smart man. Good first rant here on Kelly's Corner. Wasn't expecting that, but I was expecting from you, I was expecting like a full deep dive into like the statistics of, you know.
Well, maybe at some point in the future I'll do that, but.
The statistics of like Utah Utes defensive intensity or something like that.
I just had to get out in front of this issue before we got too carried away because I know several people, not just Jake Lyman, who have gotten dragged into this evil philosophy of a fall wedding. Ugh.
Fall wedding. I guess you could say that's sort of a bold take, right?
No,
that's not a bold take.
No.
Warm temperatured comment, okay?
Well, you totally ruined my
segue. I'm definitely ruffling a couple feathers for any of the women that are listening out there, but...
That is the definition of a bold take. Speaking of bold takes,
Coming up next, we'll play Bold Take Row. Give us your bold takes, sports or non-sports. You can text or call us at 615-737-1025. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Weekend huddle here Saturday morning. Connor Newt, I forgot my own name. Connor Newt, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly. We'll play Bold Take Row coming up next on 102.5 The Game.